Harry Scarry on True Talk 800 AM.
Nice to have you with us this afternoon here on True Talk 800 AM. I appreciate your joining me this afternoon, and hopefully you've had a chance to listen to the other programs this week. As you know, we've scuttled our usual subject matter, and I've decided to spend 10 hours, 5 programs all week talking about something that has become increasingly difficult to ignore. On Monday, we talked about the situation in the state of Oregon, whereby custodial rape is pretty much legal. Oregon is one of only 3 or 4 states where an inmate can be sexually molested by a Department of Correction employee and this particular person not be convicted of anything, not be prosecuted for this crime. We listened to a woman who talked about this as it happened in 1997. I repeatedly called the Marion County District Attorney's Office and asked him, even giving them the man's name, that's why they're not prosecuting this. And to me, the only thing I can come up with is that you've got one state agency which is covering up for another state agency. This man should at least have been questioned. Nothing at this point has happened. The Marion County District Attorney's Office needs to get a phone call from you. On Tuesday, we found out why battered women kill. And we talked to some experts. We talked to a woman from the Harvard Public Health School who talked about why women get to the point where they respond that way. Yesterday, we found out about a drug defense. We talked to a woman at the Oregon Women's Prison, the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, who told us that after being sentenced to 25 years for shooting her husband, she became aware of the fact that this antidepressant drug she was on, Paxil, was probably the cause of her violent behavior, which she had never had before. And today, what I'd like to focus on is medical neglect. We tend to think, based on media reports, that people, at least I have always believed, that if you're sentenced to prison, that you have it nice and cushy, that you have 3 square meals a day, you have your medical care, you really don't have to do anything but lie around all day and watch television. I have come to find out that that's not true. Gotten lots of letters from inmates who have told me about particular cases that were of grave concern to them. In fact, one case, which is being investigated, and I spoke to an attorney who's involved in this investigation earlier today, there was a woman who died at the women's prison not too long ago, just in the last month. And she died from something that people don't normally die from. There are a couple of inconsistencies about this case, but this sums, while I can't talk about this particular case, we are going to talk about medical neglect in general. We have an entirely different picture of what goes on behind bars than really does exist. Dental care, medical care, not being the best. We're also going to discuss food. I found out when I was visiting women inmates this summer that the average weight gain is about 50 pounds for a woman who enters prison. We had a prison advocate here the other day in the studio who was saying that as part of her work in the prison system, she'll actually go in and can see week after week, month after month, these women get larger and larger and larger. And that's real easy to understand when you see some of the food they're being served. I got a hold of some listings of what is sold in the canteen, which is where they can go and use their money to buy things. It's garbage. It's not the kind of stuff that you'd want to eat. It's all sugar. It's all fat. It's all grease. And then what about the diet? Starch, fat. We're going to talk to a medical doctor about the correlation between food and mood. And we're also going to discuss the fact that antidepressants are being handed out like candy. One of the reasons why, we heard an attorney yesterday talk about this, and he said, very simply, if you can get the inmate population into a zombie state, they'll be less likely to cause trouble, and they'll be less likely to advocate for more appeals and for their own cases. So you really don't need a prescription. You don't even need a doctor's okay. You get handed these antidepressants, and when you're in prison, why not? It's for many people, extremely hopeless in there. And that is, again, what this psychiatrist who's joining us later is going to be talking about. Talk about the correlation between food and mood and why when you feed people a constant diet of fat and starch and sugar, you get sort of a kind of a lethargy. You get people who don't feel well, who don't act well. And there's even a study that I came across that shows, believe it or not, the prisoners are less violent when they're given supplements, vitamin supplements. There was a study published in this past July in the issue of British Journal of Psychiatry that talked about the simple use of nutritional supplements they say could significantly reduce the behavior problems among prisoners. Now, this might seem a little bit odd to you, but if you think about the fact that in any given prison population, there are people in there who should not be in there. And when I say should not be in there, I say they have been wrongly convicted. And if you don't think there are a lot, just realize that about every week we're hearing about someone else who, because of DNA evidence, has been proven to be innocent of the crime they were incarcerated for. And people who've spent 15 years for a rape they didn't commit, or 20 years for a murder they didn't commit. Can you imagine the hopelessness, not only of being sent to prison, but to know that you didn't do what you're being punished for? So if we assume that there are innocent people in prison, and then we also assume that there are people who, yes, are guilty of the crimes they've been convicted of, do we want to add, we take away their freedom, we take away their choices? There are many cases where people should be incarcerated based on the fact that they're a threat, based on the fact that they have done something they need to be punished for. But at what point does it become punitive? At what point that, in addition to taking away their freedoms, we've made them sicker, we've made them not feel well, we've made them doped up, number of different things. I've got some examples of what some of the food problems are. There are prison advocates who look into these issues, and I have reams and reams of information about rat feces that's infesting the food. There was one particular case of a prison population in Colorado that had been served beef which was tainted with E. coli, and this is after they knew that it had been tainted with this. So there are a lot of instances where we subject inmates to, again, I think it's punitive types of punishments. We're doing it because we can, and I don't think that's right. I never would have considered myself a quote-unquote bleeding heart about crime and punishment, but after finding out what I have found out, knowing that there are people in there who are mothers and sisters and wives of other people, I think that we are charged with a mandate to make sure that if in this country we have a system of punishment, we have a system where our legal system will convict someone, and I'm finding out more and more it's wrongly convicted. But if we put people in prison, I think we better be good stewards of their imprisonment. By that I mean, if we know that they are being raped, if we know that they are being drugged, if we know that they are being punished, this should not be in part of their incarceration. That's what's happening. And I found case after case after case. One particular case, as I mentioned, the hundreds of inmates in Colorado state prisons were served meatloaf that prison officials knew was made with beef recalled because of E. coli contamination. And they said, well, we decided to use it because we could cook it. No, that's not good enough. They thought they could prepare the meat safely. And it's not good stuff. Gotten a lot of information, lots of letters, lots of emails from people who are telling me their particular stories, that they were inmates or that they know someone who's an inmate, and they're getting an awful lot of encouragement knowing that these particular problems are being brought to light. What I hope to do as a result of this series is to, number one, let you know what's going on in those prisons. As I've mentioned during the week, I've gone into the prisons on a number of occasions. This last summer, going in, and just as recently as last week, to visit inmates, I have correspondence from many inmates who are starting to write to me to tell me what's going on. I have one in front of me that says, Mary, I've come too far to stop now. I decided not to interview this woman because I was concerned that the retribution would be too serious once they figured out who she was. And she knows that when she writes to me, her letters are read. She knows that when I write to her, her letters from me are read. And she said, I've come too far to stop now. It may be interesting to see if the Department of Corrections will interfere with the calls. Well, she was at one point going to call us on the air, as this subject gets a little sensitive. I am aware that I must be careful not to betray names and personal incidents, and you should be aware that Department of Corrections' new phone screening system will make it easy for them to scrutinize at their leisure, and she would be open game for a disciplinary report. People are concerned about talking about this stuff, because when you're in prison, all bets are off, and the retaliation is swift and it's sure. So she tells me about one particular inmate who had a certain, and I'm not going to disclose what the ailment was, but she kept writing to me telling me about this one inmate. And then she wrote to me and she said, Mary, the inmate is dead. I contacted the attorney who is now handling this case for the family of this inmate, and he says it looks extremely suspicious. But I can't talk about that now. I don't want to jeopardize the case. I've got piles of letters here from people who tell me what's going on inside the women's prison, what went on at the women's prison in Salem. Right now, I want to give you an idea, for those of you who think that people are sitting down to Chateaubriand and pheasant under glass and foie gras every night with a nice Pinot at the prison. And let me give you an idea of what the inmates are eating. This is from our Suzanne Miles, a woman who was sentenced to 25 years. She's calling from the women's prison.
The food is awful here. Food is awful. Lots of starch, lots of... We had bugs in our cereal the other day, in our granola that they gave us for breakfast. There were beetles in it. The food is not very healthy. I don't think it helps anybody in here at all. People that are not very healthy are becoming more unhealthy because of the diet in here.
Alrighty, so there we go. We're going to talk further about the food, give you some specifics, talk about medical neglect. And we also have a gentleman who's going to be joining us later on who writes for Prison Legal News, who tell us about the situation, what goes on in the prisons regarding mail. When you write a letter in, what happens and how sometimes those letters don't reach the inmates, and that's by design. When we come back, we're going to talk to a woman here in Oregon who's been a prison advocate for a number of years, and this she promised her husband as he lay dying in a prison cell, and she was able to say goodbye to him and to promise him that she would stay on this issue, and she has. We'll be back here on True Talk 800 AM to discuss this further. I'm Mary Sterrett. It's 2:15. I'm glad you're joining us.
Last year, Northwest Medical Teams provided aid and Christian compassion to more than 2 million people. Helpless children in overcrowded orphanages. Families ravaged by war and earthquakes. Hurting people here at home and abroad.
You can be a part of this local effort to change the world by attending Northwest Medical Teams' Doors of Hope Banquet, October 5th at the Portland Expo Center. Join the celebration with True Talk 800 AM and recording artist Debbie Boone and TV personality Grant Goody for an inspiring evening. Call Northwest Medical Teams today for tickets. It's only $40 and includes a free ticket to the Home and Garden Show at the Portland Expo. Call 503-624-1000 for tickets. That's 624-1000.
Don't forget to experience the life-changing work of Northwest Medical Teams at Windows of Need, Doors of Hope. A free multi-sensory exhibit running October 2nd through 8th only at the Portland Expo Center. True Talk, your station for positive programming 24 hours a day. True Talk 800 AM.
The Women of Faith Conference is coming to town.
It's going to be sensational.
I love Women of Faith. It's fun and it's okay to laugh and I love speakers.
You have got to be at this conference. You'll be encouraged, you'll be strengthened, you'll be renewed.
All right, come on now.
It's emotional.
It spoke to my heart.
Refresh your spirit with some of America's best-known Christian speakers and thousands of other women.
I connect with other women and the music.
We were rocking in the stands.
This place is wonderful.
You will love being here.
You feel so secure, so loved.
Sign up now. Come on, girlfriend.
Register today by calling 1-888-49-FAITH or go online at womenoffaith.com.
Sign up now. What are you sitting here for?
Women of Faith will be at Portland's Rose Garden October 25th and 26th. Call 1-888-49-FAITH to register or visit womenoffaith.com for more information. Just to the right of Attila the Hun, Mary Sterrett, True Talk 800 AM.
Good afternoon, I'm Mary Sterrett. You're listening to True Talk 800 AM. All this week we're talking about women's issues, women in prison most specifically. We've talked about a number of different aspects of what women go through. And I think if one thought remains with you after this week, I would like it to be that we are not to stand in judgment of the people who are in prison. They've already been judged, at least here on Earth. I think what we need to do is to remember that the conditions that are that exist in prisons now could be the conditions that you or I wind up living under. We are seeing more and more people thrown into prison for really specious claims, aren't we? The laws that we make today could be the laws that we live under tomorrow. I would like us to know that these are people who are truly people in many cases who have had a bad run of things. People who have had a difficult life. Yes, people have made choices to, in many cases, commit the crimes they've committed. But I do want us to remember that we are told that we're supposed to visit people in prison. We are told that we are supposed to, when someone's thirsty, give them something to drink. When someone is naked, we're supposed to clothe them. When they're in prison, we're supposed to go to them. And I can remember first reading that and thinking, that can't be me. I'm certainly not going to go into prisons. I'm not going to go in there and visit people. And what can I possibly do? If the one thing you come out of with this week, I hope it will be that you will go visit someone in prison, that you will, give you lots of resources, give you lots of information, tell you how you can do that, that you'll take a drive to the women's prison in Wilsonville, that you'll make it a point to go visit the men's prison in Salem, that you'll sit and talk to somebody and give them a tiny little measure of what you've been given, a little bit of hope, perhaps a little bit of diversion, perhaps a little bit of joy. And you have no idea how far that can go. When I first started doing this, somebody who's very familiar with this whole situation said, you know what you should do, Mary? You should just send a picture postcard to one of these women. And I thought, well, big deal. What's a picture postcard going to do? And he pointed out that just a scene of beauty, of flowers or of trees, is something these people have been deprived of. And maybe just a picture postcard in their cell could make a difference, could give them a little bit of joy. And I don't pass a rack of postcards now that I don't think about that. And it really is such a very humbling experience to meet these people and to know that their lives are so hopeless. And that's where we come in. Joining me now is a woman who has devoted her life to prison reform. Her husband died while incarcerated at the Inverness Jail in Portland. He was taken to the hospital a couple of days before he died, and he died. He died chained to a prison cot. He'd been in jail, and he knew he was dying. He had AIDS. She wanted to be with him. That was not possible. She'd been a prison advocate since 1996 when she promised her husband on his deathbed that she would devote the rest of her life to humanizing corrections. She's here with us this afternoon, Anne Rose Pierce. It's good to have you with us.
Thank you, Mary.
Boy, you know, I really do feel like I've been so changed by reading and all of this stuff and talking to all of these people, and I want to share that with other people. You obviously have a whole lot more experience than I do. But what is it that people don't know about prisoners?
Well, I think the first thing that they don't know is that prisoners are people just like you and I. Prisoners, they don't suddenly become some human Sabbath human because they've been convicted of crime. There are very few Ted Bundys in the prison system. Most people are like you, your neighbor, your son or daughter, your husband, my husband. They have dreams. They have hopes. Most of them will get, and that's the other thing, 96% of them will get out of prison someday, and they'll be your neighbor. They'll ride with you on TriNet. They'll work with you at your job. We need to be helping them to be better human beings, not teaching them to be much worse.
How do they become worse in prison, Anne?
Well, it's pretty dehumanizing to be called by a number rather than a name. They're cut off from most normal human contact. Most corrections officers don't think of them as another person. They think of them as the enemy. Of course, the prisoners also think of their officers as an enemy. We set them up in an adversarial position, and it becomes that and degenerates from there in a lot of cases. If you don't treat people with respect, how are they supposed to learn to treat you with respect?
What did you become aware of as far as the conditions inside prison when your husband was in there?
Well, one of the things is the food, as you've mentioned. When he was home, he begged me never to ever cook rice because they serve an incredible amount of rice and not very well cooked either. He said it was always gummy. He had no idea what really well-cooked rice would taste like. Very seldom did they have fresh fruits and vegetables. Any vegetables that they did have would be frozen. Fruit would be canned. Lots of starch. And you have a pretty accurate picture of the canteen. You already, the things that are available on canteen.
Well, describe what the whole canteen is, how they can get stuff, how they can buy stuff, and what their choices are. Because I looked at the list and I thought, oh boy, why would anybody want to buy that stuff?
Well, you would if you, as he used to tell me, I'm starving, and the meals are not large. I'm sure they're smaller now because just recently, in light of Oregon's budget cuts, the dollar allotment for per prisoner per day was $2.70-some, and now it's $2.32. So you know that food has been cut again. So canteen is available in most places on a weekly basis. If somebody on the outside is able to put money on your books, or if you have a prison job and you earn a little bit of money, then you can use that to buy things from canteen that will supplement your food, your meals. They also sell coffee, things that you can make soup, sometimes top ramen, but a lot of candy, a lot of chips. I don't think I've ever seen a fresh fruit item on a canteen list. And part of that is, just like every place else in the world, one or two people will ruin it for an entire group.
Mm-hmm.
There have been prisoners who have used the fresh fruit to make wine. That's a simple fact.
It kind of took me by surprise.
You didn't know that.
No, I didn't. Yes, I'm sure that's become very inventive behind bars.
Bread has yeast in it, fresh fruit bread and sugar, and you can make wine. I doubt that it tastes very good, but it is possible. And it has been done. I've talked to prisoners who've done it. So, therefore, they took all fresh fruit off canteen except, I believe, bananas. You cannot make wine with a banana.
Although I'm sure they tried.
I'm sure that they know that it's not possible because somebody tried. That's why the items are on canteen that are. The other things on canteen are their personal hygiene items. People need to understand, too, that we no longer supply, out of our tax dollars, shampoo, soap, lotions. Prisoners have to buy those things. Prisoners have to buy Tylenol at $2 for $5, aspirin, those kinds of things. And while, if a prisoner had a lot of money, I wouldn't have a problem with that. Most prisoners don't, and their families don't.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they have no one to put money on their books, they do without. Then they're stuck with the basic meals that the prison serves. And if a prisoner does have a job, most prisoners in the state of Oregon that are working full-time, 40-hour weeks, are making about $40 a month. So, they don't have a lot of money to spend.
Oh. Talk, if you will, about the quality of the food. I don't know if you're aware of it, but according to Oregon Judicial Watch, they've gotten some information to me about the rancid food, about rat feces-infested food, about bug-infested food, about rotten food, about food way past the pull date. This is all the kind of stuff that you think, they're just inmates. Who cares? We'll feed them whatever rat-infested stuff we want. I've come to find that isn't right. At least I believe that isn't right.
Whatever happened to the understanding that if we as a society choose to lock people up, we as a society become responsible for them? If we don't want to have to spend tax dollars to support 11,000 people in prison, maybe we don't need to have 11,000 people in prison in this state. When you take away somebody's ability to take care of themselves, we as a society, and you choose to put them in an institution, that makes us responsible. And that means that what's happening to them is also our responsibility.
I'm not sure if you heard our program earlier this week. We
talked, I heard Monday and Tuesday.
Yeah, we talked to a woman who'd been raped over the course of an entire year at Oregon Women's Correctional Center. And this guy still works for DOC. Is this something that's ever come to your attention before?
You know, I haven't gotten letters about custodial rape, and I haven't gotten letters about food. Most of what I know about the food is because of conversations with Greg and other friends that I have had that have spent time in either prison or jail or both. I think because the prisoners who listen to my show understand that I've been presenting things in kind of small doses. It's so hard to get people to believe. You tell a person a story about custodial rape, and 9 times out of 10, they just look at you like, yeah, right.
I've had that reaction.
You're accepting the word of an inmate, a prisoner, a criminal, a liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've had that same reaction from people who have said to me, all said to me, you cannot be right about this. It cannot be happening.
You are right, Mary. You are right.
When does your program air for those who want to listen to it?
I'm on Tuesday evenings at 6:30 on KBOO.
All righty.
And I'm on every week. But, I've been trying to give the people who listen believable doses of things. If we could just get the public to understand, one, that they are responsible for the prisons. We pay for them. And two, the people inside those prisons are people. They're really no different than you and I just because they walk in the prison door. When I first started this work, one of the things that really stuck at, well, two things that I want to say on the air. One is I read a Harris poll where 95% of the people they polled admitted to having committed a felony for which they could have gone to prison if they had been caught. 95%. The people inside are no different than most of the people outside except that they got caught.
All right.
That's number one.
Let me stop you there, Anne. We're going to take a break and then come back, but I think that's a really good point. They just got caught. You're listening to True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Starrett. I think about this verse that I shared with you earlier from Isaiah that says, He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to captives and freedom to prisoners. And if we are not doing that in some capacity, we need to rethink and ask ourselves why we're not doing that. I hope we can cause you to think about that in the course of this week. We'll take a short break and then come back.
So, have you given any more thought to increasing your RQ?
Now, look, not that I don't do okay in that department myself. It had occurred to me, if I were to make a little trip out.
A little trip up the Appliance Center at Northwest Natural Gas on 8th Avenue between Division and Powell to check out the 28 different gas fireplaces actually in operation is the perfect way to increase your RQ.
Romantic quotient?
Yes.
You say those gas fireplaces have the same impact as a romantic cruise?
Hey, that's it. Plus, not only does the Appliance Center at Northwest Natural Gas have 28 working fireplaces on display and all sorts of inserts and gas logs, Lanny has the most knowledgeable customer service people in the business. And the best installers, too. But they do get busy around this time of year. So if you're going to up the old RQ...
Yeah. Go out to the Appliance Center at Northwest Natural Gas on 8th Avenue between Division and Powell.
True Talk. Listen for the True Talk magazine with Lou Davies. Weekday mornings at 10 on True Talk 800 AM.
Allergies can be miserable, especially for a little kid.
Probably the greatest manifestation was the itching. Benjamin virtually lived all waking hours and took to bed with him a damp rag that he constantly rubbed his eyes and his nose because it was just incredible itching. We had talked with his primary physician about it and were told that basic testing they wouldn't do, Ben was too young, and they should give him just over-the-counter allergy medications. Benjamin was taking Benadryl or Dimetapp every 3.5 to 4 hours. Didn't seem to do anything but sedate him a little bit. We had listened to Dr. Bob on the radio before. I called in and talked with him one time, and he had a testing process that was painless, that children responded quite well to, and he thought that he could do something to improve the allergies. Within less than a month, the rag was gone. The itching was gone.
You don't have to live with allergies. Call Dr. Bob Slotsky now at 654-3938 and get the help you need, because helping people is all that matters. Dr. Bob Slotsky, naturopathic physician, 654-3938, 654-3938.
If you're looking to buy or sell a home, opportunity is knocking. Just listen to this hot opportunity from the KPDQ Real Estate Network.
This is Andrea Johnson of Kingdom Properties. Thinking about buying real estate? I'm an accredited buyer's representative. I have professional experience and the ethical commitment to represent your best interests every step of the way. I will help you find the right home at the right price by making sure you are the first to know about the new listings, even those hard-to-find foreclosures. I will help with the paperwork and negotiate on your behalf. Call today while the rates are still low. Andrea Johnson of Kingdom Properties at 503-888-SOLD. That's 503-888-7653.
For more information, contact this agent direct or visit kpdq.com for a complete listing of homes on the network. Buyers and sellers, the KPDQ Real Estate Network is your source for realtors with integrity.
Defying description daily. Mary Sharon. True Talk, 800 AM.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mary Starrett and you're listening to True Talk 800 AM. Thank you for joining me this week. We're talking about women's prison issues. I pointed out earlier in the week that they just spent $171 million building a women's prison in Wilsonville, in a rural neighborhood, in an agricultural area, $171 million. They're also thinking of doing that in two different counties. And today, at 11 o'clock, there was a delegation of Oregonians who represented the residents of Madras and Lakeview. These are the towns where two new prisons are to begin construction this year. And there were members of the Oregon Criminal Justice Reform Coalition. They paid a visit to the governor's office this afternoon to urge him to hold off locking the state into more long-term debt for prison construction. Now, what happens is they try and sell, and they will do this next month, about $40 million in something called certificates of participation to underwrite the prison construction. They can write this off. It doesn't constitute any kind of debt. They can write this off, and it doesn't, since they don't have to pay these bonds back. It doesn't factor in to the long-term debt. So it's just one of these ways of cooking the books. Add that to the $100 million in debt payments for the past prison construction that we pay each biennium out of the general fund. And we're going to build two more prisons. It seems that we're on a prison-building extravaganza because most of the prisons have been built in out-of-the-way rural communities that lack the resources to mount any kind of effective challenge. And these communities are getting a raw deal. I don't believe that we need more prisons. I think it's a money-making enterprise. And I think what we need to do, you've got these sites, one in Madras and one in Lakeview. These locations make absolutely no sense. And now we have to look at the economics of it. We simply cannot afford it, especially when we're looking at cutting essential services. And now we're issuing all these promissory notes for, again, building more prisons. My guest this afternoon is Ann Rose Pierce. She promised her husband that she would, and on his deathbed, she would devote the rest of her life to humanizing corrections. She does a program Tuesdays at 6:30 on KBOO Radio where she deals with these types of issues. Ann, what do you want to get out there about the conditions in prison that people, again, are probably going to be hard-pressed to believe?
Well, first let me say the quote that I wanted to say earlier right before the break, and that is that people are sent to prison as punishment, not for punishment. Going to prison is the punishment. We don't need to lose half their mail. We don't need to feed them crappy food. We don't need to deny them medical service. We don't need to house them 500 miles from their family. They're already being punished. They're locked up.
I think that's a good point.
I've liked that quote ever since the first time I read it. I thought, yeah, that makes sense. It's short and sweet and logical.
What have you been told about medical neglect inside prison?
Well, the one thing that I've noticed in the last year is that the volume of mail I'm getting about medical issues is growing. Compared to what I was receiving 2 years ago, it's grown a lot. It goes all the way from very little things. This is a situation that occurred at Snake River a couple of years ago. I get a letter from an inmate telling me, not asking for anything and not even anything to do with him, but saying, I look across the pier and I see a 72-year-old man who was dying with emphysema crawling into his top bunk every night, while below him lays a 25-year-old hale and hearty young man on the bottom bunk. I mean, that's kind of common sense, you know. I don't think anybody intentionally set that up to put the old man on the top bunk, but some officer walking by at some point should have noticed that it was really cruel to expect that man to crawl up there every night when the 25-year-old could have easily done it and the older man could have had the bottom bunk. That would have been a real simple switch, and that's kind of minor. Then there's the wife who called to say that her husband was scheduled for surgery when he was given his prison sentence. The judge was aware that he had a surgery scheduled, but made him go ahead and start his sentence anyway. And in the time since he had been imprisoned, the scheduled surgery has been denied. This is a documented by Amnesty International incident that occurred in California. This is a woman who was sentenced to 7 years for forgery. During that 7 years, she discovered a lump, asked to see medical, and kept getting put off. By the time they finally allowed her to see medical, the cancer had progressed to the point that there was nothing the doctors could do but tell her how long she had to live.
Well, that reminds me of a letter. I've been getting some letters from this one particular inmate who's been keeping me up to date on this one woman at Coffee Creek.
Right.
And she told me about her for weeks and weeks, and then she wrote to tell me that she had died. I contacted an attorney who's representing the family in this case, and he says there's just people don't die of what this woman had.
Right.
And it's just one of those things. I also received a letter from a former inmate who points out that Prozac and all kinds of tranquilizers are handed out at medication time to anyone who wants them, and you don't need a doctor's prescription. In fact, a lot of these people who've been in prison have never even seen a doctor. And then the other thing that he points out is that at this one facility, they had a veterinarian who was functioning as a dentist there, and the federal government was paying him to be a prison dentist when the only thing he knew was how to pull teeth from horses.
Right. There are not, I don't know of any documented cases in the state of Oregon. However, in several other states, I have seen documented cases where doctors who have lost their licenses to practice in the general public have been hired as prison doctors. If they're not competent in the general public, why is the government paying them to work in a government-run institution? That's another thing that happens. People who need medication aren't getting it, even though we're giving out Prozac to people who may or may not need it. Diabetics, for example, are sometimes having a very hard time getting their medication. Greg, who was documented to have AIDS.
Your husband.
Right. He was arrested in November of 95 and spent a week without his medications. And he started getting them when I called his clinic downtown, and their nurse called the jail and said, give the man his medicine. I guess that's the other thing. If there are people listening to the show who are advocating for people in prison, the most effective help that I have found to date is to have an outside doctor contact the prison and say this person needs this type of treatment. Sometimes knowing that an independent doctor is looking at the situation helps. A lot of it is a matter of budget. Some of it is a matter of not just the general public believing that all criminals are pathological liars, but the corrections officers believing that every other word out of an inmate's mouth is a lie, so if they're asking for medical, they really don't need it. So putting people off. It isn't. Sometimes it's the medical staff. Sometimes it's other prison staff not letting the person go to medical. Sometimes it's, I mean, there are a lot of things. Things happen at a shift change. Nobody wants to deal with it, so they figure the next shift can deal with it, and in the meantime, the person lays down on the floor and has a heart attack and dies. That's happened in Texas and a couple of other states. I have had reports, but I have no money or, you know, capability of investigating. I've had heard a report that it has happened here once or twice in this state.
What about now? Now, I know I've written to certain inmates, and there is no indication that they have gotten my mail, and there have been several comments made by people who know that my mail is not getting through to some of these inmates and vice versa.
Well, there are a few things you can do about mail. Mail happens to be federal property. The minute you put it in a mailbox, it becomes federal property. The Postmaster General likes to know that the mail gets delivered. If mail is not deliverable, if what you send is contraband for any number of reasons, it violates the inmate rule, it is supposed to be returned to you unless the contraband happens to be an illegal substance, in which case you are supposed to get a notice that it was confiscated. Both you and the prisoner should receive that notification. What I advise people to do who think that their mail is not getting through to a family member is to start numbering their letters. So on the envelope, in the return address, you would put Ann Rose Pierce, and then you would put one in a circle, and then two and three. And so the prisoner can keep track and suddenly say, gee, I didn't get, here's letter three, what happened to letter two? I've got one, now I've got three, where's two? The second thing to do is when you mail each letter, make a notation on a calendar that you mailed it. So you have accurate dates and ways of reporting. If it becomes very clear that mail isn't getting through and you can point to specific letters that didn't make it, then you contact the prison mail room and ask what happened.
There are often times mail is not forwarded to them. Why is that?
Forwarded to?
The inmate. Is it because you said something in your letter?
No, they can't do that unless they... if they're not going to deliver it to the inmate, they have to return it to you.
Mm-hmm.
So are you talking about mail that you've gotten back, or are you talking about mail that...
You know, actually, one time I got a letter back from the prison because I had enclosed a self-addressed stamped envelope,
right.
And they said, no,
you can't do that
because they want them to buy their stamps and their envelopes from the prison itself.
Right. That's another thing you can buy from commissary.
All right, let's break here and then come back. Ann Rose Pierce is our guest. And at this point, I'd like to open up the phones. Many of you who have emailed me about your situations, whether or not you've been incarcerated or know someone who has, or else if you're just absolutely appalled by this, or maybe you think we're just bleeding hearts and we need to move on to another topic, I'd love to hear from you as well. Our number here is 503-233-2703, 503-233-2703, or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-845-2162. 1-800-845-2162. Coming up at the top of the hour, a psychiatrist will talk about the correlation between what prisoners are fed and their mood and their behavior. Back right after this. We have more True Talk on the way. At True Talk, we want to welcome Debbie Boone and Grant Goody to the Northwest Medical Team's Doors of Hope Banquet. That's October 5th. Come along and celebrate the work of Northwest Medical Team, which provides Christian compassion and aid to more than 2 million people every year. Call 503-624-1000 to make your reservation today for the Doors of Hope Banquet. That's 503-624-1000.
Free Up, the better way to prepay from Verizon Wireless. Get set up with a great Kia Seraphone for only $69.99. That's a $30 mail-in rebate, which includes $15 worth of prepaid minutes and 200 bonus weekend minutes. If you're already hooked up with Free Up, we'll throw in 200 bonus weekend minutes every time you re-up with $50 or more. Stop by a local Radio Shack or Verizon Wireless location near you to Free Up, only from Verizon Wireless. Subject to prepaid wireless service agreement. Up to $35 activation fee may apply. Limited time offer. Restrictions apply.
It's allergy season again. Where should you turn for relief? Benadryl or the leading prescription? The answer may surprise you. Medical studies prove histamine-blocking Benadryl is 54% more effective than the leading prescription. More effective at relieving even your worst allergy symptoms like runny noses. That's a real eye-opener. Benadryl, 54% more effective than the leading prescription. Use as directed. Studies use Benadryl allergy at standard 50 milligram dose.
True Talk, the home of insightful living with Chuck Swindoll. Weeknights at 9 on True Talk 800 AM.
My name is Tom, and I met my wife, Becky, on eHarmony.com.
eHarmony changed my life because I never would have met Tom otherwise.
Hi, I'm Dr. Neil Clark Warren, founder of eHarmony.com. You may have heard Tom and Becky interviewed on Focus on the Family recently. They're just one of several hundred couples who have found their soulmate through eHarmony. What they have is so special. It's so hard to find the right person to marry and then build a lasting relationship. At eHarmony.com, we're committed to coming alongside you, and we can make it so much easier to fall in love for the rest of your life. Here's what I want you to do. Go to eHarmony.com and log on today. We will give you a free eye-opening personality profile right there online. And then we'll be well on our way to helping you, like Tom and Becky, fall in love for all the right reasons.
I found the absolute dream of my life on eHarmony.com.
An equal opportunity offender, Mary Sterrett. True Talk, 800 AM.
Welcome back. This afternoon, you're listening to True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Sterrett. As we continue our week looking at women's prison issues here in Oregon, lots of information has come to light, most of it quite disturbing. And our guest is a prison advocate. She promised her husband, as he lay dying in a prison cell, that she would try to humanize corrections. She is Ann Rose Pierce, and she does a radio program at 6:30 on Tuesdays on KBOO Radio. We also are taking your calls if you would like to weigh in on this whole topic. Maybe you've had an experience you'd like to share with us, 503-233-2703 or 800-845-2162. Let's go to Marcel in Portland. Hello, Marcel. Thanks for calling.
Hi, Mary. As someone who's seen both the inside and outside of several of the jails in the immediate area, I can attest to exactly what Ann Rose Pierce is talking about, especially the food situation. There is something, though, that she and others may not be aware of, though. In the Inverness Jail, they are severely overcrowded. In a dorm that has 50 slots in it, that is, it was built to house 50 people, and the federal government has said that it is to only hold 50 people. They often bunk up the beds in against the wall, putting 55 to 60 people in these dorms. And one of those dirty little secrets is that in order to stay compliant, quote-unquote, with federal guidelines, they only feed 50 people, but they split the food up among the 57 or however many trays they're being delivered for each meal. So not only is the food a very low quality, high starch, high carbohydrate, exactly like she's been talking about, the rice that's severely either overcooked or just made into mush and such, but then it's not very much of it.
You sound like you've been there, done that.
Uh-huh. Every single time that they've put me into one of these facilities, whether it's on bogus arrest warrants or other bogus materials that they've done, I always end up losing weight extremely rapidly because I won't order commissary because the commissary is as bad, if not worse, than the regular food.
Hey, Marcel, I appreciate your weighing in this afternoon. Thanks a bunch. Yeah, that's interesting. You've got 50. Get room for 50 people. You've got 55 in there, so you got to make the food stretch to 55.
I knew about the overcrowding. I didn't know about the dividing up of the trays.
Wow.
There's just so many issues that overcrowding isn't something I've mentioned. Although, like I said, I was aware of it because everywhere you look, there's another issue, and it's like, how many things can I talk about in a day, or how many things can I try to address? Overcrowding is rough, so that's something else about the women's prison. I don't know if people are aware. It's built with dorms. 108 women share a dorm. Can you imagine living with 107 other women with no partitions between you?
No. Well, not to mention that you've got male guards watching you go to the bathroom.
Right.
You know what I want to encourage people to do? Get up in the morning, and from the time you wake up and you open your eyes until the time you go to bed, think of what it would be like to have some pervert staring at you. Because this is what it's like when they go into the shower, when they go into the bathroom, when they lie down in their beds at night, when they get changed, when they go to work, when they walk. I mean, this is what it's like.
Right. And you don't choose what or when you eat. You don't choose what you wear. You don't go through a door until somebody opens it for you and tells you to go through. You're searched between every activity. You don't choose your bedtime. You're limited to read what's in the prison library. You're limited to watch on TV what 108 or 107 other women also want to watch. You are limited in who you have contact with. If you make a phone call, it has to be collect, so your family has to be able to afford to talk to you. If you have a visit, they have to be approved by the Department of Corrections, and then it'll be, I mean, visiting in the state prisons is certainly much better than at the county jail. I do have to say that. At least you, most people are allowed to sit at the table and hold hands and have a normal sort of visit. And they are approximately 2 hours long, and usually you can do that twice a week.
Mm-hmm. Well, so, I went to visit one particular inmate a number of times over the last few months, and at one point I had to leave and go get changed because I was wearing jeans.
Yeah, I heard you say that the other day. And I was aware of that. Like I said, I've had a lot of friends who ended up in prisons and jails. So I was aware of the clothing restrictions. But I have been standing in line when people showed up who weren't, and some of them didn't have anything in the car to change. There are some states who keep a box of clothing that is the right colors and textures and just allow people to change.
I talked to one inmate who wound up getting a staph infection because the places, let's just say you talked about those 108 women, their hygiene is not always what it should be.
No.
And she wound up with a staph infection, and the doctor said she's making a big deal out of nothing. And this is, you know, staph infection
is not nothing.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I'm not sure if people are aware also that TB is on the rise again.
Yes, it is.
Generally among prisons.
And what about hepatitis?
Oh, my God. Yeah, I'm not sure we even have time to go there. Yes,
yeah, hepatitis is
on the rise.
That's right. It's certainly, it's, you've got 4,000 men and women in Oregon with hepatitis C, and only 15 are getting treatment.
Right.
And these are people who file lawsuits, according to my information, against Oregon Department of Corrections for medical neglect. In hepatitis, they only provide hepatitis C treatment to prisoners that sue them, you know, for not providing medical care. So, very disturbing information.
Yeah, and if anybody wants to take the time to go online and read the medical protocols on the Department of Corrections' own website, are you still there?
Yeah.
Okay. That's not what it says. I mean, they're very well laid out protocols for what medical care should be like. They look great on paper.
Mm-hmm.
But I know that that's not what's happening. I do want to say that it's not the jail's fault that Greg died. There really was nothing that they could have done differently. If they had sent him to the hospital a couple of days sooner, it might have extended his life two or three more days.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I mean, it's not their fault, nor do I blame them. What I blame them for is the hell that I went through trying to convince someone to let me see him. Fortunately, I blundered into the right person who told me the right questions to ask, and I did end up having 2 one-hour visits at the hospital on the last 2 days of his life. But I was lucky that I found the right person. It shouldn't be that way. I mean, I know that he was in jail, but he was still my husband, and I loved him, and he loved me, and I wanted to say goodbye. And I was, you know, because of my own persistence, I did get to say goodbye. But people shouldn't have to go through that. People should be allowed to love who they love.
And people who are incarcerated are no less worthy of love.
No, they're not.
They're incarcerated.
No. And also, you talked about the prisons in the remote locations. People in prison who have family contact are much more likely to get out of prison and stay out, not commit more crimes and not go back, than people who don't have good family contact. Moving our prisons so far away from where most prisoners come from isn't doing the state of Oregon any good. It's going to cost us money down the road.
And women are typically sent out of state to prisons when they send them out than men are. So that's another thing. Hey, we're out of time, and
okay.
I want to thank you once again. Anne Rose Pierce has a program on cable radio, 6:30 on Tuesdays. And I appreciate you being with us.
I really appreciate you doing this show.
All right. You take care of yourself.
You too.
Thanks.
Bye.
All right. At the top of the hour, when we come back from the news, we're going to talk to Dr. Hyla Kaff. She has written a book about the association of food and mood. And we're going to ask her what happens to someone who's fed a typical prison diet. And you'll be surprised, or maybe not, at what she has to say. That's when we come back here on True Talk 800. I'm Mary Scarrett. I do hope you'll stick around.
Cowboys and Indians, monkey bars, cartoons, and Barbie dolls. As we get older, we outgrow a lot of things. Unfortunately, braces aren't necessarily one of them. Many adults continue to have misaligned teeth later in life. If you or anyone in your family needs braces, don't worry. Braces can be done at any age. Just call Dr. Lowell Booth today at 360-694-4000. When you see Dr. Booth, ask him about Invisalign. Technologically advanced Invisalign braces fit perfectly and can be easily removed for brushing and eating and are virtually invisible. Most people won't even notice that you're wearing them. Dr. Booth is a family-focused dentistry and orthodontic expert, and he can help you be a good steward of the teeth the Lord has given you. Visit Dr. Booth today at your Dental Comfort Center, just a few short blocks off I-5 near Broadway and 4th Plain. For appointments or further information on how Dr. Booth can help you, phone 360-694-4000. 360-694-4000. Dr. Booth, the dentist that focuses on your family.
It's been reported that scientists here and abroad are proceeding with experiments in human cloning, and some rogue fertility doctors even claim to have cloned pregnancies in progress.
This is a special commentary from the Susan B. Anthony List, named for the suffragette who was proudly pro-life.
Human cloning is proceeding despite widespread opposition by most of the American public. Those in the scientific community are anticipating a slow acceptance of human cloning, just as with abortion, until opposition is viewed as extreme and unprogressive. However, as with abortion, opposition is not extreme, but mainstream, and efforts to stop human cloning must continue.
The Susan B. Anthony List is dedicated to supporting pro-life legislation, training candidates and activists, and promoting pro-life leaders. To view all this month's commentaries, visit our website at sba-list.org.
True Talk, 800 AM, KPDQ, Portland.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason in Washington. The U.S. and Britain have had a meeting of the minds regarding a U.N. resolution on Iraq, and now they'll try to sell that resolution to France, Russia, and China, each of which could block the resolution with a veto.
We're a long way from getting agreement, but we're working hard. And there are many points where we are in agreement, and there are some outstanding issues that have to be dealt with.
Secretary of State Colin Powell updating the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld says there is no question that Iraq has been and still is actively involved in terrorism.
Since we began after September 11th, we do have solid evidence of the presence in Iraq of Al-Qaeda members, including some that have been in Baghdad.
And Rumsfeld says there's evidence of senior-level contacts going back 10 years between Al-Qaeda and Iraq. The U.S. has a history of rebuilding the territory once held by its military foes, and Afghanistan, it seems, will be no exception.
Secretary of State Colin Powell is urging international donors to cut the red tape and put the check in the mail. At a World Bank meeting, Powell also suggested world governments may want to reconsider the $4.5 billion that's been pledged over the next 5 years. He said more money may be needed to help Afghanistan rebuild. The United States has already sent most of the $296 million it promised earlier this year. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The police chief of Norfolk, Nebraska, says authorities are now in a nearby town to see if three men who have been arrested there driving a stolen truck are the suspects being sought in today's deadly bank robbery. The House has approved limits on malpractice awards to patients who are injured by their doctors. And on Wall Street today, the Dow gained about 155 points. This is SRN News.
This is Hugh Hewitt with today's Salem Radio Commentary. This November's elections are fast emerging as a referendum on the war against terrorism and on the ability of the president to get a fair hearing for his nominee for judgeships on the federal courts. If you care about the war on terrorism, or if the decision to ban the Pledge of Allegiance upset you, your first duty is to vote, and vote for candidates who support the effort to bring justice to the terrorists and who support judicial nominees that interpret the Constitution, not invent new amendments to it. A handful of votes can make an enormous difference, as Florida showed us so dramatically only 20 months ago. If you've recently moved, or maybe you've never voted, well, there's a new website, OperationVote.com, devoted to getting you and your friends registered. OperationVote.com provides the tools so you can exercise your freedom and vote. Prepare today to make a difference this November. And tell a friend to get registered at OperationVote.com. I'm Hugh Hewitt.
We always appreciate your support of our advertising sponsors, and one of our longtime sponsors is the Price is Right Discount Store. I'd like to ask you to make a special point to go into the Price is Right this week, but only if you're looking for great merchandise at bargain prices. The Price is Right is a wholesale closeout store, so you're sure to find something you need at a price that's, well, just right. Everything from pantyhose, just 99 cents a pair, to tarps, tools, clothes, household items, greeting cards, and candles, even milk for $1.89 a gallon. Stop by, tell them Mary sent you, and that you appreciate the fact that they sponsor this show. Carl, the owner, is so nice, he said he'd give everyone who mentioned this ad a free pair of pantyhose with purchase. Every time I stop into the Price is Right, I always leave with a great, huge bag of cool stuff. So do me a favor, stop by the Price is Right at 12th and Division in Portland. They're open Monday through Friday from 9 to 6 and Saturday till 4. The Price is Right, and tell them Mary sent you.
Charter member of the vast right-wing conspiracy, Mary Starrett. True Talk 800 AM.
Welcome back. You're listening to True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Starrett. This week we're looking at issues that affect women incarcerated in the state of Oregon. On Monday, we talked to a woman who was raped by one of the employees, Department of Correction employees. Nothing's been done about it. Nothing has. He still works for the Department of Corrections. That's because Oregon doesn't have a law against custodial rape. And on Tuesday, we talked to battered women who kill. On Wednesday, we talked about the drug defense. We talked about a doctor and a lawyer who specialize in what is now being referred to as the Paxil defense. And we talked to a woman who killed her husband after having been on the drug Paxil for 11 days. We talked about the correlation between violence and antidepressants in many cases. What I'd like to focus on now, since we're talking about medical neglect and food, is to find out if there is a correlation, and I think we all know from our own experience, what you eat can affect how you feel. In the prison system, the stuff that they feed these inmates is really quite... It's alarming. I've been in there, and I've looked at some of the things in the vending machines, and I've looked at some of the things in the canteen. And let me just give you an example here. You can order from the canteen pepper beef stick, Grandpa Don's smoky sausage, kippered beef. You can have the pepperoni stick and beef jerky and a Big Hunk candy bar and Three Musketeers, jalapeno hot sauce, pork skins, cheese spread, bacon cheese spread. And I'm just looking at this list thinking, boy, this is the stuff that they can opt to eat. What about the stuff they're being fed on a regular basis? Very starchy, very high in sugar, very high in fat. And we also mentioned that we found out that there were instances of infested with roaches and bugs and beetles and of beef that was tainted with E. coli, and people who talk about the rat feces in food. Not to mention the stuff that they're feeding them, which is just absolute garbage. I wanted to bring on someone whose opinion I respect when it comes to food, and also want to ask her a little bit about the fact that they're handing out antidepressants just like candy there, and also ask her that in light of this new study that shows that nutritional supplements reduce the behavior problems among prisoners. She's been on our program before. She's an author of several books. She's the assistant clinical professor of psychiatry at the UCLA School of Medicine. She's kind of put together nutritional medicine and psychiatry, which is ever so appreciated in this day and age. She graduated from the University of Toronto School of Medicine, and she completed her psychiatric residency at Cedars-Sinai Medical Center. One of the books that she wrote, which I really do, I like a lot of the stuff in it, Natural Highs, Feel Good All the Time. She talks about supplements, nutrition, and mind-body techniques. Dr. Hyla Kass, nice to have you back on the program.
Oh, it's such a pleasure. I love being on, and bless you for doing this topic.
Tell me what you know about the average inmate who gains about 50 pounds during the course of her incarceration is fed high starch, high sugar, high fat diet. What does this do to somebody's head, much less their body?
Oh, it absolutely depletes, deprives the brain of any possibility of functioning normally. You know the phrase garbage in, garbage out?
Mm.
When you're feeding people's brains this starchy, sugary food with no nutrients, you are basically depriving them of the ability to think and the ability to feel in any kind of a normal mood. So these women are going to have depression, anxiety, irritability. They're going to be tend toward violence. There's so much research showing that when people are deprived of the appropriate nutrients, they actually become disordered mentally.
So if you give somebody, and they don't have any choice, you give them a lot of sugar, you give them a lot of starch and a lot of fat, is there some kind of, besides the behavior problem, is there lethargy involved?
Oh, yeah. They're not going to have the energy that they need. You might get a quick hit of energy because glucose, blood sugar, raises up when you have sugar, when you have starch. But there's a quick rebound of low blood sugar and feelings of fatigue, irritability. That's when people get into fights, they get cranky, they get themselves into big trouble. And I also have to add that the incarcerated population already is nutritionally deprived. When you look at criminals, and I'm not saying that all of them are in there in a justified manner,
mm-hmm.
That's a whole other issue,
yes.
But even so, when you look at the level of violence is directly related to the amount of nutrients that are in their body. Dr. Bill Walsh from the Pfeiffer Institute has done analyses of hair samples of many inmates, and it shows absolutely the more violent the inmate, the more nutritionally deficient they are.
Now, I read this study, which was published in July 2002 in the issue of the British Journal of Psychiatry. It shows that the simple use of nutritional supplements can reduce behavior problems among prisoners. Would you find that to be true?
Oh, absolutely. There were studies, Schoenthaler did studies like that in the 1980s, and in Natural Highs, I talk about that quite a bit, about how, not so much about the studies, which I refer to, but how people can, in fact, improve their mind, mood, and memory very easily by taking the basic nutritional supplements.
If you could take the information in your book, Natural Highs, and disseminate it to all the inmate population and to the departments of correction throughout the country, what would they extrapolate from that? What would they change if they had the desire to do so? What would they do differently based on your book?
They would, first of all, follow the Natural High basics, which is the basic good diet with fats, good protein, good carbohydrates, because they're not all alike. And to begin with, you want to have healthy carbs, the kind of carbohydrates they're getting, the high starch, the refined sugar, the refined flour is garbage. What they need to have are vegetables, which are forms of carbs, legumes, and overall low glycemic index carbs. Those are carbohydrates that release the sugar slowly. And there's, in fact, in Natural Highs, I have 4 pages of the listing of all the glycemic index of all the carbs that you can possibly think of all the foods, so people know what to eat in order to sustain their energy. Then in terms of protein, you want high-quality protein, fish, meat, chicken, tofu. I'm sure they're going to serve tofu in prison.
All right.
Really. if they do serve meat, and it's usually overcooked, fried, it's just really not well-prepared. You want things that are not overcooked, not undercooked. And of a high quality.
Not to mention,
of it.
In Colorado, they were serving the inmates beef that had been recalled because it had E. coli in it.
And of course. So they're poisoning our prisoners besides incarcerating them.
Mm-hmm.
The protein is required for the building blocks. Protein turns into amino acids, and amino acids are the building blocks of everything in our body. Our skin, our blood vessels, our blood, everything is made out of protein. And the neurotransmitters, the feel-good neurochemicals, the serotonin, dopamine, adrenaline, is all made out of the amino acids. And if we don't have enough, we're not functioning properly. These poor inmates are not given enough good quality protein to help their brains operate. Then you get to the fats. They're being fed the wrong kinds of fats. The fats that are like in potato chips, french fries, fried food. What they need are essential fatty acids, such as those found in fish, for example. And that forms the building blocks of the brain. The brain is 60% lipid, 60% fat. And if we don't have that in our diet, we can't make our brains. Our brains don't work properly. We can't make the neurotransmitters. And the neurotransmission, the sending of messages from one brain cell to another that helps our mood, mind, and memory, is totally disrupted. And on top of that, we don't make hormones when we don't have enough of the good fats. So their hormone cycles are going to be all dysregulated.
I found out from one particular inmate that they are handing out these antidepressants in the women's prison, in the men's prison. You really don't need a prescription or anything. They're handing them out. In your experience as a psychiatrist, what would you say that's doing to the overall inmate population, and would you suggest giving them supplements instead?
Would I ever? I mean, you heard the Paxil story. I've certainly seen a great deal of evidence that for certain people who are very sensitive to these serotonin reuptake inhibitors, it does in fact induce violence and suicidal behavior. They're not to be handed out like candy ever, and in fact, what they're doing is treating the symptoms when what we need to do is treat the cause, which is malnutrition. You treat the malnutrition and you're not going to need these very strong drugs that have side effects. And they're not good side effects. I mean, the dramatic ones, of course, are the homicidal and suicidal behavior. But other than that, there are many, many other side effects that you get from these drugs. And it's so ridiculous to be covering over symptoms. This is what our society has done. Conventional medicine does this, covering over symptoms rather than going to the root of the problem, which is always what I aim to do both in my practice and I certainly pass that on in my book such as Natural Highs.
It seems that as a psychiatrist, you are kind of going against the grain here, doctor.
I'm in the minority. The
majority of your colleagues are doing. You're actually telling people how they, I mean, I've got chapters out of your book. This is a book that I refer to all the time, where you tell people to do yoga, you tell people to take a bath, you tell people to take certain supplements, and it actually can make a difference. That this is not what normal psychiatrists are telling their patients.
I guess I'm not abnormal.
You're not normal.
But it's true, these activities, positive thinking will change your neurotransmitters. Taking a warm bath will raise your endorphins. Putting in some aromatherapy oils will also have some added effects. Doing yoga is very, very effective in modifying your, besides your body, you know, you get to stretch and you get to be much healthier by doing yoga. You get yourself centered, it's calming, it changes your neurotransmitters and it changes your self-image. And people that have gone in, bless their hearts, people that have gone in to teach yoga, to teach meditation, to teach self-esteem, visualization, positive thinking in the prisons have made an enormous impact. We need much, much more of that besides the nutrition.
Well,
I'm
doctor,
glad you brought that up.
Doctor, I appreciate you being with us. I know you're on the move. You're on your cell phone, and we're not going to keep you up and rack up your cell minutes. But I do want to tell people to go to your website, which is CASSMD.com. CASSMD.com, and the name of the book is Natural Highs. I have a copy of it, and it really is great. I enjoyed it. Thanks so much for your input on today's program.
Thank you so much, Mary, for the opportunity. I love being on your show.
Thank you. We'll do it again soon.
Okay.
Dr. Hyla Kass. We're going to take a short break and then come back and continue our discussion as we continue our week-long look at women's inmate issues. So do stay with us here on True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Starrett.
My name is Mike Jones, and this is a true story. Several years ago, my doctor told me I should have my colon scoped. I can't say I was excited about a 5-foot tube going through my insides, but hey, I was in my 50s at the time, so I did it. My colon turned out to be okay, and afterwards I asked my doctor, "So, when's the last time you had one of these?" He hung his head. He hadn't. Tragically, last year, my doctor died of colon cancer. Did you know if you're over age 50, you're at risk for colon cancer too? And if you never had your colon checked because you're afraid of the procedure, I have good news. It's now possible to get a virtual colonoscopy with BodyView's revolutionary new CAT scan. A virtual colonoscopy is still a colonoscopy, but without the invasive scope and no anesthetic either. I just had one at BodyView scanning. It was totally comfortable, took just a few minutes, gave me some peace of mind too. So if you're over 50, younger if you have a family history, call BodyView Scanning at 503-653-SCAN for more information. That number again, 503-653-SCAN.
True Talk. Gather round for Focus on the Family Radio Theater during the Story Hour, Saturday nights at 7.
on True Talk 800 AM.
If you're overweight, you're not alone. Do something about it. Introducing Slim Patch, a great new weight loss product from Europe. Slim Patch is totally natural. You eat as you normally do, but with Slim Patch, you feel full sooner and avoid cravings between meals. Slim Patch is easy to use. Just apply one patch per day until you reach your goal. No pills, no shakes, no problems. It works. You'll see results in your first week. How does it work? It absorbs through the skin and gives you the sensation of being full. You eat less, you lose weight. No one needs to know you're using Slim Patch. No hiding your shake in the back of the fridge or gulping your pills down before lunch. Apply Slim Patch to a discreet part of your body and start losing weight right away. Don't wait any longer. Now is the time to get on the right track.
Call 888-55-PATCH. Ask how to receive a 30-day supply absolutely free with your order. Call toll-free 1-888-557-2824. Lose 12 to 20 pounds this month at 1-888-55-PATCH. That's 1-888-55-PATCH.
Shining a light on truth, justice, and the American dream. All for 6 1/4 an hour. Mary Scarry. True Talk 800 AM.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Mary Sterrett. This afternoon, you're tuned in to True Talk 800 AM. All this week, we're looking at women's inmate issues, and we've covered some buttes. And it seems to be the more you dig into this, the more you find. It's just the tip of the iceberg. I've been getting so many phone calls and so many emails that one problem turns up another problem. And I could do this all next week, but I'm not going to because there are just too many other issues that need our attention. I want to talk on Monday what you can do if you are forced to take the smallpox vaccine. This is an extremely dangerous vaccination. If we wind up being told that mass vaccinations are the law of the land, we have Joyce Riley on the program on Monday to tell you what you can do if you are forced to take the vaccine. But I do want to say as a proviso to that, that what we're going to do is encourage you to get a hold of your representatives, your senators, your congressmen, anybody who will listen, and tell them that you, as an American citizen, have no intention of being forced to take any vaccine. And let me also go on record as saying that we're probably going to see a quote-unquote smallpox case so that we can justify this mass vaccination. And I noticed that now they're telling us, well, Al-Qaeda is connected to Saddam Hussein. You see, you got to ratchet it up if you want to sell this to the American people. And for those who are not buying, this is the way to do it. You know those planes that slammed into the World Trade Center and the Pentagon? Well, you know, there's somehow a tie to Saddam Hussein. I'm not buying it, and that's what we'll be talking about, most specifically the smallpox vaccination campaign, which is probably one of the most frightening things that I have seen occur in this country in the last couple of years, and there have been a couple of youth. Also want to mention something I heard. This is very difficult not to comment on the news of the day, but the ordinance, the live ordinance that was found in the Murrah building, and all the conspiracy quote-unquote theorists were told they were crazy for saying that there was something involved here. Well, I guess that's turned out not to be true, huh? So anyhow, all the stuff that we're saving up to talk about on Monday on the program. But back to the issue at hand. Why have I spent an entire week, why have I spent 10 hours, will be 10 hours after tomorrow, talking about something that typically only bleeding heart liberals talk about? Well, the poor conditions in the prisons. Well, I've just had my eyes open to what goes on in the prisons, and I guess I believe that the laws that we have today in place today are laws that could very well be laws we have to live under tomorrow. If any of us are incarcerated, more and more people are being put in jail and put in prison for just the most ridiculous reasons. And even still, even if you are convicted of a crime that you're guilty of, there's no reason why the punishment should be things like custodial rape or bad food or medical neglect. So that's why I've focused on these issues. And also, really important, that drug defense that we heard spoken about yesterday, where people on antidepressants commit violent acts and then are thrown into prison for the rest of their lives. So that's just some of the stuff. I wanted to read some of the emails that I've gotten over the last couple of days from people who are saying, wow, you know, I can't believe this is going on, and thank you for taking a look at this. Got him here somewhere. Let me see. Yeah, most especially, we know that there are more prisons are in the pipeline. They're looking at building more prisons. One of them in Madras, I believe, and one of them in Lakeview. And so today there was a delegation of Oregonians that represented the residents of Madras and Lakeview. These are the towns where the two new prisons are to begin construction this year. So here they have no money in the state of Oregon. They're talking about shutting down schools and throwing old people out on the street to starve to death with no insurance. And we're going to build more prisons. So we have $40 million in what are called certificates of participation to underwrite this prison construction, which is another way of cooking the books because you don't have to actually put that down as one of your expenditures. Then we have $100 million in debt payments for the past prison construction that we pay every biennium out of the general fund. And so now they're saying, let's build more prisons. It is a money-making, and of course what happens when you build them? Well, you have to fill them. And that's becoming easier and easier to do because if you spit on the sidewalk, well, they can throw you in prison. The other thing I've just discovered over the course of this investigation that I've done is that Measure 11 is just the most draconian. It's the biggest mistake. Measure 11 will not take into account extenuating circumstances. So we bought into this hook, line, and sinker, despite the fact that there is a new study out that shows that ballot measure 11 is unproven. It's a sentencing law. There's no evidence that it reduces crime. So we've got 3 years. We've got measure 11. What measure 11 does is it throws people, this was overwhelmingly passed by voters in 1994, and this imposes stiffer mandatory penalties for crimes ranging from murder to second-degree assault. Day before yesterday, we had in the studio a woman who picked up a lamp to defend herself with against her husband, who was attacking her at the time, telling her he was going to kill her. She hit him with the lamp. She wound up going to jail and then to prison. She was in jail for 9 months. She was in prison for 19 months. This was a mom, a soccer mom, sat across from her in the studio here. And that, thanks to ballot measure 11. Oh, if you hit someone, they don't take into account the extenuating circumstances, i.e. self-defense. And there is no law that protects someone under the guise of self-defense in the state of Oregon. So that ballot measure 11 is something we really all have to work at undoing. It's very, very bad. Based on that, you've got people who are in prison who should not be in prison. And then you've got these mandatory sentencing guidelines. I've gotten some emails from people who are, I guess you could say, victims of ballot measure 11. People who have people in prison that shouldn't be there. And over and over and over again, we see this. As a matter of fact, I have one here from someone whose name I'm not going to use. The reason for the email was to thank you for discussing the issue of women in prison and educating your listeners on this very emotional issue. She says, it amazes me how many, quote, Christians have no compassion or understanding when it comes to people in prison. She says, I have a son who's currently serving 7.5-year sentence under Measure 11. His crime occurred when he was 17. She says, from my understanding, Steve Dole and Kevin Mannix were directly behind this measure. That's something else you want to think about when it comes to voting for governor. And that's another reason why Kevin Mannix, in my estimation, should not get your vote. And she said, this morning's Oregonian has a response letter in the editorial from Steve Dole regarding ballot measure 11 and its redeeming value. This is a man whose daughter was killed. It was a horrible thing. But it seems like he was so driven, she says, by revenge that now it's like anybody who does anything is going to go to prison. She said, I heard that in Willamette Week they had done an article on him at least 4 years ago. I'm not going to go into what that says. Anyhow, she says, I would like to suggest that you spend another week on the subject of ballot measure 11 and share some of these stories. People really need to know what's going on, especially before we choose our next governor. Thank you again, Mary, for all the compassion and understanding you have shown on the subject. You've made a difference, and it's greatly appreciated. God bless you. And then it's signed by, as I said, this woman whose son has been in prison for a number of years. The ballot measure 11 thing is a really, really big thing. Lots of people writing. As a matter of fact, got another email here, and if I were a little more organized, I'd be able to put my hands on it, and read it to you. You should see what my desk looks like. The last couple of months, I'll tell you what, I have been so immersed in this, so completely absorbed by this whole thing, that I've been my desk at home and my desk. Oh, here's one. Thanks for the fine journalism on this subject. Perhaps you don't know, but there is a special grand jury report done in each county regarding the jails in that county and their public record. Might it not be interesting to get the report from Marion County for the years of abuse and interrogate the DA about the grand jury report and its lack of addressing female prisoners' safety? You might even be able to get in contact with the foreman and bring this to the attention, to his attention, on the raping that your guests have discussed. The grand jury is where the power is, and you can access it. Alrighty. Well, I appreciate I appreciate your emails, appreciate your feedback on all of this, and certainly there will be more in the days ahead. What we're going to do is take a break and then come back and talk about this further. We're going to talk to a gentleman who's on staff at Prison Legal News, and he's going to tell us, he's going to talk about a number of things. He's going to talk about the mail issue. What happens when you send an inmate a letter? He's going to tell us that perhaps Coffee Creek Correctional Facility is not following the mail regulations for mail that is allowed into the prison. So this, medical neglect, the visiting issue, a number of other things will be on the docket when we come back. You're listening to True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Sarah. Hope you'll stay with us. More True Talk is on the way, and so is Women of Faith Conference. That'll be in Portland, October 25th and 26th at the Rose Garden Arena. For ticket information and a schedule of speakers, go online to www.womenoffaith.com.
An elderly woman sits alone in inner eyes, vulnerability, fear. She needs someone to care for her. If you're moved to provide Christian compassion to those in need, you should consider becoming a certified nurse's assistant. The demand for certified nurse's assistants, also known as CNAs, is higher than ever and growing. CNAs can work full or part-time. So if you want to be home when the kids are, you could supplement your income by providing care for someone in the mornings. CNAs work in private homes, nursing facilities, even hospitals are hiring and providing great benefits for CNAs, some earning as much as $16 an hour. New Care Directions, our area's number one training center, is now enrolling men and women for their October training. The training program is only $675, and payment plans are available, with some scholarships available for adults 55 and older, day or evening classes. Call New Care Directions today at 503-231-9319 for details. 503-231-9319. New Care Directions, 503-231-9319.
True Talk. Join us for the Single Connection. Sunday nights, 7 till 9 on True Talk 800 AM.
Are you buying or selling a home? There's no better place to look than KPDQ's Real Estate Network.
This is Pat Balzer with Century 21 in Vancouver, bringing you another helpful real estate tip. If knowledge is power, then a realtor is the most powerful ally you can have when it comes to buying or selling your home. When you're having a hard time finding the perfect home or property on your own, one of the many advantages to using a realtor is that they can apply their vast knowledge of the market and can speed up the process for you. Many buyers find it helpful to take a pen and paper and actually write down a list of desired features they would like when they purchase a home, condominium, or townhouse. Make this list and call Roger or me today at 360-903-5050. We would be excited to help you get started. 360-903-5050. That's 360-903-5050.
Contact this agent directly or join us online at KPDQ.com's Real Estate Network. Buyers and sellers, the Real Estate Network is your source for realtors with integrity.
Back to Mary Garrett on True Talk 800 AM.
Welcome back. This afternoon, we're continuing our look at inmate issues here in the state of Oregon. We're finding out the conditions are not like you would have believed. It sounds like we're talking about a third world country with custodial rape and rotten food and medical neglect. And boy, the list goes on and on. I wanted to talk this afternoon again about some of these issues and paint a different picture than perhaps you have been you've been led to believe. And tomorrow on the program, we'll discuss some of these programs that are available, the prison-sponsored programs and what some volunteers are doing, and tell you how you can get involved. As we pointed out, there is just so much that needs to be done. There are lonely people. There are hurting people. There are people with serious issues that need advocacy. And if you want to get involved, there's just, if everybody went and gave an hour of their time every month, you wouldn't be surprised at just how much good you could do. All right, here on True Talk 800 AM, my guest joins us once again on the program, a staff member of the Prison Legal News, which is the largest circulation magazine in the United States that deals with the protection of prisoner rights, and he's a special correspondent for Justice Denied magazine. Hans Scherer, thanks for coming back again this afternoon.
Hi, Mary.
The issues we talked about this afternoon, we really did get into detail about food, about medical neglect, about mail, things that, I don't know, most people would never think about unless they had an inmate relative that they wound up finding these issues out about because of their connection with the inmate. But what do you want people to know about the, for instance, let's talk about mail.
Well, before we get to that, Mary, I'd kind of like to clarify something I said yesterday for those that were listening.
Okay.
Related to, we were talking about Suzanne Miles.
Yes, this was the woman who was sentenced to 25 years in prison, Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, for shooting her husband while she was on Paxil.
Yeah, because I alluded to the fact that I considered the criminals in her case to be the district attorney and the judge.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's important to maybe clarify that because it directly relates to... maybe improving the conditions at Coffee Creek, you know, in any efforts that would be made in that area,
uh-huh.
because there's similar issues involved. The judge in her case, Judge Gamondo in Marion County, ruled that her use of the defense that Paxil, the side effects of Paxil, caused her to shoot her husband was junk science. Well, the federal court in the Shell case 5 months earlier ruled that it, in fact, was science, and Mr. Shell had shot his family and then killed himself within 24 hours of taking two Paxil pills.
Mm-hmm.
Suzanne Miles shot and killed her husband within 24 hours of taking two Paxil pills.
Mm-hmm.
The physician's desk reference, which is the Bible of information about drugs available in the United States, and it's available in virtually every library and public and law library in the country, devotes 7 pages to Paxil. I looked this up today. 5.5 of those pages deal with the various aspects of Paxil's dangerous side effects, 80%. Among the things it has in there is that 1% of the people who take Paxil react violently.
Mm-hmm.
Even though they're nonviolent. Now, when Judge Gamondo made his ruling, he didn't make it immediately. You know, he took time to think about it. Well, the one book that he would have consulted was the PDR. So I don't think there's any question that when he made his ruling, he was aware of Paxil's negative side effects.
Well, that's just assuming he even bothered to look in the PDR.
Well, if he looked anywhere, he would have.
But
also today, I used Google to search on the Internet. I entered three keywords, Paxil side effects and dangerous. Within 2 minutes, it had a list of over 200 web pages and websites documenting Paxil's known dangerous side effects, you know, including the inducement of suicidal and violent behavior. So the judge's ruling that her defense would be that she was suffering from the side effects was junk science was the same as him saying that 2 and 2 is 7.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the same is true for the district attorney because he would have had access to the same information. You know, in 5 minutes, either one of them would have known that Paxil is such a dangerous drug that you have to wonder how it was ever approved to be marketed in the United States. And I also mentioned yesterday that the only beneficiary of the judge's ruling and of Suzanne's prosecution was the manufacturer. Now, the corruption in the Texas judiciary has been well documented. PBS's Frontline did an episode a couple of years ago exposing the direct link between campaign and under-the-table contributions by business interests and the ruling of judges, all the way from the county level to the Texas Supreme Court. The Nation did a major story about a month ago documenting the corrupting influence of money contributions on state judges. Well, the same dynamics at work in the state courts in Texas are at work in Oregon, because all state judges in Oregon, like Texas, are elected. And while Suzanne Miles, she was in the Marion County Jail for 23 months, and her trial date was postponed three times.
Mm-hmm.
And one of those was while Judge Gamondo went on a cruise.
Right, she told
now,
me that.
Was that, you know, I'm speculating here, but was that cruise paid for by GlaxoSmithKline?
Well, that should be interesting to know.
In other words, the only beneficiary of his ruling that had no basis in reality was the manufacturer of the drug.
And now, obviously, that's a stretch because we don't know.
Well, that's true, but I'm just pointing out that the corrupting influence of the money and the way that these public officials, like the judge and the prosecutor, who's also elected, how it can impact the decisions they make.
Sure. Absolutely, no question about it, which is why you consider her wrongly convicted, and I consider her wrongly convicted.
Right, right. Well, the way that that relates to, for example, the women at Coffee Creek is that, you know, it's a huge money-making machine.
Sure.
And if they have a complaint, you know, sexual in nature or whatever, and they were to go to, for example, the district attorney, I believe Coffee Creek is in Clackamas County,
mm-hmm.
they're subject to the influences that affect their decision.
Exactly. We're talking about one hand washing the other. One agency covering for another agency. I believe it's being done in Marion County now when we asked them to check out this one particular case of custodial rape that happened in 1997.
Well, that's right. You know, one of the major political forces in Oregon now is the DOC Employees Union. And if he was to prosecute a DOC employee, he would lose the support of the union and very possibly the next election.
Sure. It's all rife with potential and probably active corruption.
And so, you know, every woman at Coffee Creek's in the same boat.
Yeah, who is her voice? Who's her advocate if the whole system is just corrupt?
Well, they have none.
No.
Unless they are able to go to the federal level.
Well, yeah, I mean, not for nothing, but that doesn't give me a whole lot of confidence.
The problem there is the way the Anti-Terrorism Death Penalty Act of 1996, it created a situation where, for example, I'll give you an example. If a woman is sexually assaulted at Coffee Creek, she can't file a suit in federal court immediately. She has to go with what's called the administrative process. She'd have to actually file a complaint with the prison official.
Well, we all know what that brings, and that's just basically nothing.
Right. And then there's several layers of that. Well, and of course that will simply cause them to retaliate.
Right, and they will.
Which, you know, we heard Monday, particularly from the woman you identified as Cindy,
mm-hmm.
you know, she didn't go to the prison officials to report what was happening to her because she was afraid of the retaliation.
Mm-hmm.
So, and as she said, she is confident, having, because she actually went to Coffee Creek on opening day, saw how it's built, saw the sort of staff that's there, that she's confident that these things are going on there right now.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, I think her words were something like she's certain of it. But the women it's happening to, because of the way the procedure's set up, will suffer extreme negative consequences. You know, I mean, if they try to report it.
Right. Right. Well, let's move on here and talk a little bit about some of the more mundane things about an inmate getting mail and a letter that can be pretty much your only link to the outside.
Well, that's true. I mean, the lifeline for most prisoners is the mail, because they can't afford to make regular phone calls. And for many people, you know, their family and friends aren't close enough to visit.
Right.
And so for 37 cents, you know, you can send them a letter. So anything that interferes with them receiving or sending mail has, you know, a significant impact on the quality of their life.
So what's the problem? Are they not getting mail? Is the mail being somehow kept from them?
Well, the staff, like at Coffee Creek, they know how important the mail is. And so they are constantly interfering both with people sending it and receiving it.
Now, do you know this to be true?
Oh, yes. You know, working at Prison Legal News, we deal with it literally every day. They interfere with the delivery of our magazine. They interfere with the delivery of promotional material. You know, Oregon isn't alone in this. We have a calendar that, for example, two states have banned us from sending prisoners the calendar. Arizona and Virginia.
Hmm. All right, let's break here, because we're up against the break, and then come back and talk about medical neglect and talk about a variety of different things.
Okay.
But I want to get back to this mail thing. I want to hear about what is happening there. Our guest is Tom Shearer, and he is on staff at Prison Legal News, and he also is a special correspondent for the Justice Denied magazine. This afternoon, you're listening to True Talk 800 AM. I'm Mary Sarrett. We'll be right back.
KPDQ welcomes Kyle Ziegler and Castlegate Realty with a very unique offering. Listen to this. Castlegate Realty is currently featuring an executive floating home in Class Harbor, across from beautiful Hayden Island. This floating home features nearly 2,000 square feet with 3 bedrooms and 2 baths. It's located on an inslip with clear and amazing views of Mount Hood and undeveloped Hayden Island, with no neighbors on 2 sides. It also features a 28-foot boat slip and a rear deck complete with a swimming platform. Central air conditioning will keep you nice and cool this summer. While you enjoy the surrounding wildlife, you'll be living easy on the water with this floating home. And it's an entertainer's delight. For more information or to make arrangements to take a tour of this unique floating home, call Susan McCall at 503-481-2256. That's 503-481-2256.
Listen for Mary Sarrett weekday afternoons from 2 till 4 on True Talk 800 AM.
Is the IRS threatening to levy your bank accounts or garnish your wages? Do you have a huge tax bill that you'll never overcome? Are you a business owner facing payroll tax issues? The burden of tax problems can be too much for many of us to handle. You're not alone. In fact, millions of other Americans are facing similar problems. Put your tax problems in the hands of our professionals. Advantage Tax Services is staffed with former IRS agents that have spent years on Capitol Hill addressing tax issues for members of Congress. Call 1-866-HELP-TAX today and make your problem a thing of the past. Call for our tax resolution guide on CD or tape. This guide will walk you through the steps to resolve your problem with IRS. The first 50 callers who mention this ad will receive this CD or tape for free. You just pay shipping and handling of $7.95 per CD or tape. Let our years of experience in resolving tax problems work for you. Don't let this opportunity pass you by. Call 1-866-HELP-TAX. That's 1-866-HELP-TAX.
She has a license to thrill. Mary Sarrett,
True Talk 800 AM.
Welcome back. We're wrapping things up today for our fourth look at issues relating to women in prison. You're listening to True Talk 800 AM, and I'm Mary Sterrett. And my guest is Hans Scherer, and he's joining us again. He writes for Prison Legal News, and he also is a special correspondent for Justice Denied magazine. We're talking about the issue of mail. And you point out, Hans, that there is one particular inmate that you're in contact with at the Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, the women's prison in Wilsonville, and that they've got a dorm of 108 women. How many pieces of mail are they typically getting there every day?
Well, I just received a letter from her yesterday, and actually I'll quote from part of it. Quote, "We are not receiving our mail now. A dorm of 108 women get less than 20 letters now. I miss your newsletter."
All right, so they're not delivering the mail, but there's something more sinister behind this, just a foul-up in the mailroom. What does this point to? What does this mean to you when you hear this?
Well, Is this legal?
Can they do this? Obviously, they're doing it, but can they do this?
Well, they can't do it in accordance with their own regulations. Their regulations require that whenever... This is the Oregon DOC regulations, that whenever they receive a piece of mail, they either have to deliver it to the prisoner, or if they decide not to, they have to give written notice to the prisoner, and they have to send a notice to the sender and state to both of them why it isn't being delivered and give them an opportunity to contest it not being delivered. And they're not following that procedure.
You know, I visited an inmate there last week, and I asked her about the mail, and she was telling me that by the regulations of the prison, they have to, in order to get reading material like books, they have to get it straight, nothing from a bookstore, nothing, they have to get it straight from the publisher. And she ordered these books, just benign books, I think the Hobbit series or something, and three times these books were rejected by the prison and sent back to the publisher, and finally the publisher said, look, we cannot deliver these books anymore. And so that is in direct violation of their own mail rules.
I'm looking at their regulation right now, and it specifically states that books, magazines, and newspapers can be received by the prisoners directly from the publisher without any prior approval. So they're violating their own regulations right and left.
Yeah, because she would file a grievance about this, and she'd say, hey, look, and I'm following all the regulations. I'm not getting my stuff. You're not sending it to me. And they just say, well, we don't know what you're talking about, and ignore it. And it's so they don't really have any recourse. And I think that's the purpose of a lot of these programs is, what is their recourse? What do they do?
Well,
they have to be able to do something.
Well, in the case of our magazine, what we do is we sue them. In fact, we, Prison Legal News, sued the Oregon DOC, and last year the Ninth Circuit ruled in Prison Legal News' favor and ordered the Oregon Department of Corrections to permit the prisoners to receive the magazine. Because they're not complying with the order of the court, the Ninth Circuit, Prison Legal News had to file another suit in April seeking a contempt of court order against the Oregon Department of Corrections and monetary damages. To my knowledge, Prison Legal News is one of the very few publications in the United States that actually actively fights to protect the First Amendment rights. It's the First Amendment right of even a prisoner
sure.
to have access to reading material.
Well, we have a gentleman on the line who used to work at a bookstore. Hi, Tom. What do you say?
Yeah, Mary, when a bunch of us conservatives used to run a bookstore here in Portland, On several occasions, a mother or a brother or a father would come in having a son or daughter that's in prison. And they'd look, cruise around the shelves and say, well, gee, this is, I think they enjoy reading this book. So what they would, I would have to make out a billing and mail the billing to the prisoner. And then the prisoner, using that billing, would then send us a certified money order. And then we would send the, but we couldn't give the book to the father or the mother or whatever you, who came in for them to deliver. We had to wrap the thing back up and refer to the money order that we received from the prisoner or it wouldn't be delivered.
Yeah, like you have to jump through every hoop.
Yeah, there's all kinds of hoops to jump through.
Yeah, appreciate
the,
that.
The thing is, okay. under the Oregon Department of Corrections regulations, which I'm looking at right now, that is not required in Oregon.
Jump through another hoop, huh? All right, let's move on. Let's move on here to visiting issues. I know when I went in there one time, they have a whole list of things you can't wear. They don't want you to wear anything that the inmates are wearing, like jeans or one night I went in there, I had on jeans, a blue T-shirt, and a hooded sweatshirt, and he handed me a paper that said, you can't wear jeans, a blue T-shirt, or a hooded sweatshirt. So I said, boy, I was just not thinking when I got dressed tonight to come in here to the prison. So I drove home like a maniac, and then I went back to the prison, and I had the guard say to me, she says, I've changed to khakis, and she said, oh, you look so much better in those. And I thought, oh, that's just a real appropriate comment. So I went in and I visited the inmate, and they have rules about what chairs you sit in. You have to sit in a certain color chair, and the inmate has to sit in a certain color chair. And anyhow, go ahead. I'm going to let you comment on visiting issues.
Well, it's, and to a large part, just as dehumanizing as, you know, the whole rest of the process. And
how so?
Well, I mean, you're constantly under surveillance.
Well, you're a prisoner, you know.
No, I mean, you are, as a visitor.
Well, sure, because they don't want you slipping them drugs. And
you know, just the lack of privacy, the limitations on, you know, the degree of physical contact, the times when you can visit. I mean, it has to conform with their hours, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And what they were, of course, this doesn't, it's very fortunate that they decided to build Coffee Creek near Portland because there's such a high percentage of the women there who are from the Portland area.
Well, it's not fortunate for the people who live in that area and thought they had residential property or agricultural property, and now they've got this humongous prison with barbed wire across the street from them.
Well, I'm kind of waiting for some of the activists who fought the location of the prison there to maybe file a lawsuit to shut the place down because of the way it's being run.
Well, that's not going to happen. They just spent $171 million on the place. I mean, this is a money-making venture.
Well, that's for sure. But that wouldn't prevent someone who, you know, who becomes aware of the conditions to try to do, in other words, who wants to live in a neighborhood where things such as are going on at Coffee Creek.
All right, but you know about the corruption at all different levels, state agencies. If you've got one hand washing the other, these guys are not going to turn around and allow something like this to advance. We've got a judiciary, activist judiciary. We've got corruption at all levels. They're watching out for each other. It's just the little people do not have anything to say anymore.
Well, that's... Unfortunately, that's the case.
So, okay, here we are. We've talked about all these horrible things that are going on. Now what? What would you say, as somebody who's intimately involved with these issues, what would you say to people who never once gave it a thought that people are in prison and, well, you know what, they should be there and they deserve what they get?
Well, there's very few people in prison that I think should be there. There's been studies done that approximately 1% of the people in prison are actually violent, and going to prison simply destroys your life. I mean, even if you're there for a year, I mean, think about it. If you had an apartment, a car, a job, you're going to lose all that.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a much wider issue than what you're covering here, but it's the issue that, as a whole, very few of the people who are in prison should be there. the vast majority are, they're going to get out. And their life is not going to be better when they get out than when they went in.
Well, that's why we're doing what we're doing. Hey, Hans, appreciate it. Really do appreciate your being with us and joining us this week. We're out of time for today, but tomorrow on the program, we're going to be talking about how we can fix this. We've heard just a little bit about what's wrong. Now we're going to hear about how we can make things better. So plan on joining us tomorrow at 2 o'clock. I'm Mary Sterrett, and this is True Talk 800. I appreciate your listening.